Welcome to Saturdays with Sir Roland, your weekly training guild on how to slay the dragons of vice with the weapons of virtue. Here's your guild master, the author of the Seven Deadly Dragons book series, and faithful knight to the one true light, Sir Roland Paterlot.
Greetings, young squires, maidens, moms, and dads. Today is the 27th day in the 9th month in the year of our Lord 2025, and it's a great day to learn the art of dragon slaying. That sound, young squires, means it's a feast day, and today we celebrate the feast of St. Vincent de Paul. Perhaps you have a St. Vincent de Paul society near you that seeks to share the joy of the gospel by serving the poor with kindness and compassion. St. Vincent de Paul was known for inspiring the rich to show love and compassion to the poor. He also instructed the priest in their duties of service, and he called people back to the great sacrament of reconciliation. He is a great intercessor for today's episode as we turn our attention to the indigo dragon of gluttony. As you may know, Topher and I are releasing two new songs every week right now on Dragonslayers.tv, and this week's releases include The Wristband of Right Judgment, a battle cry for the indigo dragon, and a classic 80s-style workout song that kids and parents alike are going to love. So get your sweatbands out of the attic and get ready to be sweating to the oldies. We also have a fun song called Choose Within, which is going to help you slay Gula when those snack attacks make your tummy rumble. Speaking of snack attacks, we have a special Dragons Around the House episode today called The Captivating Caramel. This is a special episode because it is a true story submitted by one of you, a faithful listener to Saturdays with Sir Roland, who came face to face with a real dragon around the house this past week and lived to tell the story. I had planned on maybe doing a Dragons in the Parables episode this week about the rich man and Lazarus, but after hearing this story from a mom who wrote to me about her son's encounter with the indigo dragon, I decided this was a perfect opportunity to spotlight the valor of a young squire in our midst, who, just like you, is training in everyday life to fight, face, and defeat these dragons we discuss each week. Our story begins on a warm summer's eve near the banks of the Ohio River. A young squire by the name of Sebastian, who, like me, is one of four brothers, was being obedient to his parents as bedtime approached. He put on some Dragon Slayer footy pajamas and brushed his teeth. Okay, the Dragon Slayer footy pajamas hasn't really been verified, and it's probably doubtful because Topher hasn't actually created those yet, not to mention it was summer. But I'm telling the story, and every good story deserves embellishment. Anyway, not long after young Sebastian brushed his teeth, it happened. An indigo dragon wallowed into his kitchen and attacked by putting a captivating piece of caramel candy in Sebastian's path. Caramel candy is Sebastian's favorite, and Gula, the indigo dragon, has an uncanny ability to create strong desires that we call cravings. And to Sebastian's great misfortune, he developed a craving right after brushing his teeth. He politely asked his mom if he could have the caramel, but his mom said no, it was late, and Sebastian had been eating a bit too much candy in recent days, and his teeth were already brushed. But the indigo dragon just would not leave him alone. His belly rumbled, his eyes were fixated on the caramel, his taste buds were watering, his nostrils were filled with the scent of caramel, and he couldn't stop imagining the sheer bliss of the candy in his mouth. The indigo dragon was whispering in his ear, "Grab it. Just grab it when no one's looking. We just have to have it. We'll die if we don't eat that candy. We're starving to death." This, of course, is how the indigo dragon works. It exaggerates the situation and makes our body whine for the things it wants. It works in conjunction with the green dragon, who is never satisfied. It always wants more stuff. But in this case, it is food or candy. Sebastian's mom, Lady Abby, who is a certified dragon slaying trainer, being the mother of four boys, did everything in her power to help. She told him, "Practicing self-denial in little things prepares us to resist temptations in big things later in life." But still, his mind focused on how badly he wanted that caramel. She told him, "Mind over matter. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be stronger than your body." But still, he wanted the caramel so badly. So that is the situation. I won't tell you yet what young Sebastian did. First, I'll give you some options of what he could have done, so you can see what option you might have chosen and what level of dragon slaying you could reach. Here's your options. Option A. Sebastian could go to his younger brother Finian's room and kidnap his favorite stuffed bear as a hostage. He could tape the bear's paws behind its back and duct tape his mouth shut. Then he could take a Polaroid, that's a picture of the animal, and set it in Finian's bed with a note, "Dear Finian, If you ever want to see your bear again, bring me the caramel from the kitchen counter. I don't care how you get it, but I'll only return your bear if you bring me the candy. Oh, and if you tell on me, or if you get caught and turn me in, you will never see this bear again. Option B. Sebastian could whistle for the blue dragon of wrath to come thundering into the kitchen. He could hop on its back and ride that temper tantrum storm all the way through the house, causing chaos and destruction. Tears would be flying, fists would be pounding, feet would be stomping, doors would be slamming, and cries would be wailing with the words, "I need that candy. I'm going to starve to death. Please, I have to have it. Don't you love me anymore? How could you treat me this way?" Option C. Sebastian could create a diversion and try to get his brother Robert in trouble, which would give him the opportunity to swipe the candy when nobody's looking. He could steal his brother's shoes, since they are the same age, and he could walk outside through the mud and then track the mud through the house. Then he could take off the shoes and he could yell in a disbelief, "Robert, what did you do?" When his parents go to assess the situation, he could sneak into the kitchen, grab the caramel candy when nobody's looking, and then hide the candy wrapper in Robert's shoe so that his mom thinks Robert was eating the candy while walking through the mud. Option D. Sebastian could accept the fact that his mom said no, but sulk as much as possible so that everyone could see how much he was suffering. He could pretend to feel weak and sad and heartbroken so that his mom would feel sorry for him and be sure never to torture him in this way again. He could also begin to devise a plan of how he could steal his 3-month-old brother Kieran's candy in the coming weeks to stock up in case this happened again, which would be as easy as taking candy from a baby. Option F. Sebastian could pray to his patron saint, Sebastian, who is the patron saint of athletes, and ask for his intercession to fight the good fight and run the good race, to persevere in obedience and temperance. Even though he really wanted the candy, he could offer up his hunger for people who were truly hungry in the world. Then he could tell his mom that he would like to inspire thousands of other kids to slay dragons and to please share his victory with Sir Roland Paterlot, who would then retell the epic story on the podcast with slight embellishments, and kids all over the world would be saved from dragons because of the heroic witness of a boy who faced, fought, and defeated Gula, the indigo dragon of gluttony. Okay, young squires, what would you have done? Would you have chosen any of the first few options, allowing the green dragon to convince you to steal or the blue dragon to convince you to throw temper tantrums and set up your brothers to get them in trouble? Would you have given in to the cravings of the indigo dragon and did whatever it took to swipe the candy and hide the evidence? None of these options would help you reach any level of dragon slaying, only dragon feeding. So what do you think young Sebastian did? Well, I'm sure you already know because I'm telling this story on my podcast. Sebastian practiced heroic dragon slaying once he realized he had the opportunity to slay dragons and help other kids do the same. He chose option F. This victory will give him confidence in God's grace to face many dragons and more bigger and scarier dragons as he gets older. And now his story will be remembered for ages to come and passed on for generation to generation, with the details getting bigger and better by the time his grandchildren hear the story. Instead of getting his brothers in trouble, he will lift them up, and those four boys will work together to slay dragons for years to come. Of course, some creative license was taken here because his mom didn't give me all the details and I had to fill in some gaps. And I'm not exactly sure if Sebastian's brother has a stuffed bear, although if he does, then rest assured the bear was not harmed during the retelling of this story. So what about all of you young squires out there? Do you have dragons around your house? My challenge for you this week is to send us your dragons around the house that you have encountered. We'd love to hear how you slay the dragons where you are from. Who knows, your story may end up on a future episode of Saturdays with Sir Roland someday. Until next week, I'll leave under the protection of St. Michael the Great Archangel, St. Joseph the Terror of Dragons, and Mary, Queen of the Angels, Our Lady of Grace, and the woman whose seed crushed the head of the dragon.
Hey everybody, it's Sir Topher here. Alright, I have a quick story to share based on option A, but first, this week's resource is a downloadable lyric book of all of Dragon Slayer's music. You can download it in the Training Guild email or under any of the music videos on DragonSlayers.tv. Now, Roland, you mentioned option A. For me, it played out a little differently as I was on the other side of the story. I'm the youngest of three brothers and one sister. When we were kids, my siblings would play Legos, board games, or video games. My brothers let me join only if I grabbed them a snack, some gum, or those yummy donuts sitting on top of the fridge. I wanted to play so badly that I went along with it. They told me they'd give me spy powers to sneak around without my parents noticing. So off I went, creeping downstairs like a top secret agent. I'd find what they wanted and boom, I was in the game. But Squires, let's be clear. This was absolutely no level of dragon slaying. In fact, it was a dragon infestation. My siblings were under attack by the indigo dragon of gluttony, using me to fetch whatever they craved. And me, I gave in to the orange dragon of envy, sneaking around whatever I wanted and disobeying my parents. All because I was jealous and desperate to be part of their fun. I had the opportunity to slay not only my dragons, but help slay theirs. All I needed was the courage to say no, even if it meant I didn't get to play. Here's what I learned. The greatest dragon slayers win two battles. They slay the dragons within and help others slay theirs. And that is a wrap on that story. I hope you can learn from my mistakes. And now the song you're about to hear is one of my favorites from Dragon Slayers, from the Dragon Slayers playlist, The Wristband of Right Judgment. Until next week, stay holy and slay dragons.
Choices.